Well, our reading is from the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 12, verse 11 to verse 21. I have made a fool of myself, but you drove me to it. I ought to have been commended by you, for I am not in the least inferior to the super apostles, even though I am nothing. The things that mark an apostle, signs, wonders, and miracles, were done among you with great perseverance. How were you inferior to the other churches, except that I was never a burden to you? Forgive me this wrong. Now I am ready to visit you for the third time, and I will not be a burden to you, because what I want is not your possessions, but you. After all, children should not have to save up for their parents, but parents for their children. So I will very gladly spend for you everything I have, and expend myself as well. If I love you more, will you love me less? Be that as it may, I have not been a burden to you. Yet, crafty fellow that I am, I caught you by trickery. Did I exploit you through any of the men I sent you? I urged Titus to go to you, and I sent our brother with him. Titus did not exploit you, did he? Did we not act in the same spirit and follow the same course? Have you been thinking all along that we have been defending ourselves to you? We have been speaking in the sight of God as those in Christ, and everything we do, dear friends, is for your strengthening. For I am afraid that when I come, I may not find you as I want you to be, and you may not find me as you want me to be. I fear that there may be quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, factions, slander, gossip, arrogance, and disorder. I am afraid that when I come again, my God will humble me before you, and I will be grieved over many who have sinned earlier and have not repented of the impurity, sexual sin, and debauchery in which they have indulged. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, the passage in front of us today is not often preached on. In fact, I can't remember ever hearing a sermon on it. But it is a passage that shows us the heart of the Apostle Paul and the heart of authentic Christian ministry. Now, nothing could be more important for us to understand than this. If you're taking medicine, it's essential that the medicine is genuine. If you're having an injection, it's vital that it's the real thing and not a harmful copy. Well, it's even more important that the ministry we receive is authentic Christian ministry. Our spiritual health and our life with God depend upon it. If you've been following our series, you will know the background to 2 Corinthians. Paul founded the church in the Greek city of Corinth. But after Paul left, certain false teachers arrived. They were eloquent, impressive, successful individuals. Paul calls them super apostles. But they weren't apostles of Jesus at all. They taught a different gospel. Now, Paul, by contrast, was not an eloquent speaker, and his life was marked by weakness and suffering. And the Corinthians were being led away from Paul to follow the super apostles. And so Paul had to write this letter to defend himself. He hated doing it, as he was such a humble man, but love compelled him to, because these super apostles were leading the Corinthians away from Christ. Well, in chapter 11 and the first part of chapter 12, Paul turns the super apostles' boasting on its head. Paul boasts not of success and strength, but of suffering and weakness. These, he says, are the mark of a true minister of Jesus Christ. After all, we are serving a crucified Saviour. Well, now in our passage today, Paul continues to open his heart to the Corinthians, and he continues to show them what real Christian ministry is like. Now, this is so important for us to grasp. It's important because there's so much false ministry around today. We must make sure that we are getting the real deal. And it's important as well because every believer is a minister, a servant of Jesus. If you're a believer, you are a minister in your family, amongst your friends, in your workplace. Young people watching, you are ministers in your Sunday school groups, if your growth group, and in your school. You see, we all need to make sure that we are receiving and giving authentic Christian ministry. Well, our passage comes in three sections, and each one shows us what real Christian ministry is. First of all then, authentic ministry recognises Paul's apostleship. Authentic ministry recognises Paul's apostleship. Look at verse 11. I have made a fool of myself, but you drove me to it. I ought to have been commended by you, for I am not in the least inferior to the super apostles, even though I am nothing. The things that mark an apostle, signs, wonders, and miracles, were done among you with great perseverance. Now, Paul feels that by boasting about his suffering and weakness, he has made a fool of himself. But the Corinthians should have known that Paul was not inferior to these super apostles, because they saw in him the things that mark a true apostle of Jesus Christ. An apostle literally means one who is sent. It's one who is sent by Jesus to be his official spokesman. The 12 apostles, of whom Paul was one, were commissioned by the risen Jesus to be his spokesman. They were equipped by the risen Jesus with his Holy Spirit. In John 16, Jesus promised the apostles that the Spirit would guide them into all truth. And they were authenticated by the risen Jesus through the signs and wonders which Jesus did through them. So the book of Acts describes Paul and the other apostles doing amazing miracles, or rather Jesus doing them through them. Now, that's not to say that others didn't do miracles or that miracles don't happen today. But the range and the scale of the miracles Jesus did through the apostles marked them out as his spokesman. The miracles were not the only mark of an apostle. Paul says in verse 12 that they were done among them with great perseverance. Now, I suppose that could mean that he persevered in doing miracles, but that would be an odd thing to say. In the context, it's more likely that Paul means that the miracles were done in the setting of great perseverance. In other words, the other mark of an apostle is persevering through weakness, persevering through suffering, which is just what Paul has been explaining he did. The Corinthians should have known that Paul was an apostle of Christ. He was marked as such by the miracles that Jesus did through him and the perseverance that Jesus worked in him. Now, back in 1992, John Major, the UK Prime Minister, appointed Chris Patten as the last governor of Hong Kong. Chris Patten's job was to negotiate with the Chinese government the handover of Hong Kong, which was due in 1997. Now, John Major realised that the Chinese government might try to drive a wedge between him and Chris Patten. For example, if Patten said no to some request, they might try to get Major to say yes and so undermine the negotiation. So John Major put out a public statement. He said, "You cannot put a cigarette paper between me and Chris Patten." In other words, he was saying, we are so close that you could not even get the thinnest piece of paper between us. What Chris Patten says, I say. Well, you cannot get a cigarette paper between Jesus Christ and his apostles. Sadly, you hear many today who profess to be Christian believers, but they dismiss Paul or the other apostles. They say, oh, Paul was a product of his age, narrow, sexist or homophobic. But no, the apostles were commissioned, equipped and authenticated by Jesus Christ. What they say, he says. To reject the teaching of the apostle Paul is actually to reject the teaching of Jesus Christ. And so we need ministers who recognize Paul's apostleship, who recognize that what Paul says, Jesus says. That's not the only mark of authentic Christian ministry. Authentic ministry not only recognizes Paul's apostleship, we also learn, second, that it gives, not takes. Authentic ministry gives, not takes. Have a look at verse 14. Now I am ready to visit you for the third time, and I will not be a burden to you, because what I want is not your possessions, but you. After all, children should not have to save up for their parents, but parents for their children. So I will very gladly spend for you everything I have and expend myself as well. Now, Paul is determined that when he visits the Corinthians, he will not be a burden to them. In fact, he says it three times. Verse 13, I was never a burden to you. Verse 14, I will not be a burden to you. And verse 16, I have not been a burden to you. It was the custom in the first century for speakers to charge for their services. The better the speaker, the higher the charge. And that's how the super apostles operated, but not Paul. He taught elsewhere that it is perfectly acceptable for those whose work is preaching the gospel to earn their living from it. But Paul would not take a penny from the Corinthians. Why not? Well, because he wanted to make it abundantly clear that his motive was love. He loved them like a parent loves their children. And love gives. You see, Paul's model for love is the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus gave everything he had when he died on the cross for us. Now Jesus Christ gives us salvation as a free gift which we receive when we trust in him. And so Paul follows the example of Christ. He says, I will gladly spend for you everything I have and expend myself as well. Well, Paul's opponents accused him of trickery. Perhaps of making money through the people he sent to Corinth. And so Paul makes it clear in verses 17 and 18 that none of the men he sent to Corinth, not Titus, not anyone else, exploited them or were a burden to them in any way. Well, this is the kind of ministry that we need to receive. Ministry that gives, not takes. Sadly, not all ministers are like this. You may have heard of Joel Osteen. I mention him because he's one of the most popular preachers in America and he has a growing following over here. But Osteen preaches a false gospel. He says that if only we trust God enough, he will make us healthy and happy and wealthy in this life. And not only that, Osteen has amassed a personal fortune of many tens of millions of dollars through soliciting donations and book sales. I am very dubious of anyone who enriches themselves through their ministry. Now, authentic ministry gives, not takes. We need ministers who are like Paul and like Christ, who do not exploit or burden, but who gladly spend everything for us and expend themselves as well because they love us. And that's the kind of ministers also we must be. Now, no one's getting rich through serving on a rota at church or teaching Sunday school or leading a growth group. But it is still possible in subtle ways to do ministry not for what we can give, but for what we can get. Perhaps for the status and respect that comes from being involved in ministry, or from the personal satisfaction of serving, or for the positive relationships we get from spending time with people we click with and we get energy from. But the heartbeat of authentic ministry is giving, not taking. It often involves serving behind the scenes in ways that no one notices. It involves committing ourselves to people who we find hard or don't immediately click with. It can be bruising and tiring and not immediately satisfying. Authentic ministry can feel like we are spending everything we have and ourselves as well. And I'm so encouraged when I see people persevering in that kind of ministry. Because that's following the example of Paul. And the example of Christ. Authentic ministry gives, not takes. Well, there's one more mark of authentic ministry in this passage. It grieves over sin. Authentic ministry grieves over sin. Look at verse 19. Have you been thinking all along that we've been defending ourselves to you? We have been speaking in the sight of God as those in Christ. And everything we do, dear friends, is for your strengthening. Now, in one sense, Paul has been defending his ministry in this letter, but he has not been defending himself for the sake of his own reputation or his own pride. No, his sole concern, he says, is the Corinthians and their strengthening, Literally, they're building up. In verses 20 and 21, he explains why he is so keen to build them up. Verse 20, "For I am afraid that when I come, I may not find you as I want you to be, and you may not find me as you want me to be. I fear that there may be quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, factions, slander, gossip, arrogance, and disorder. I am afraid that when I come again, my God will humble me before you, and I will be grieved over many who have sinned earlier and have not repented of the impurity, sexual sin, and debauchery in which they have indulged." You see, Paul is afraid that when he gets to Corinth, he will find sin that hasn't been repented of, hasn't been turned away from. He fears that there will be relational sin, quarreling, outbursts of anger, gossip and arrogance. And he's afraid that there will be sexual sin. Now, sexual immorality was rife in Corinth. Sex outside marriage, homosexual sex, adulterous sex. Well, these are all outside what God's word tells us his purpose for sex is. But many in the Corinthian church had been practicing these things. Did you notice how Paul said he would respond if he finds this sin? Verse 21, he will be humbled and he will be grieved. Now, this is the true pastor's heart. Paul sees himself as so connected with the Corinthians that their failings would be his failings. He will be humbled. And he loves them so much that he will be grieved at their sin. We will see next week in chapter 13 that grief will lead him to challenge their sin. You see, that's the difference between Paul and the super apostles. Paul loves the Corinthians enough to grieve over their sin and to challenge them on it. Now, there are two wrong responses to sin in other people. One is to judge, to put ourselves on a higher level as if it wasn't our problem. Well, the other wrong response is to ignore sin and even to change God's word to say that it doesn't matter. Can you see that Paul avoids both of those wrong responses? Far from putting himself above the Corinthians, he's humbled by their sin. Far from ignoring their sin, he's grieved by it and challenges it. Well, in this too, Paul is following the heart of Jesus Christ. Our Lord Jesus doesn't stand over us when we sin. He identifies with us in our sin. He took our sin on himself and paid for it on the cross. But Jesus Christ doesn't leave us in our sin. He commands us to repent. That is to recognize our sin, to admit it to him, to grieve over it, to seek his help to change. I wonder if you're conscious of something in your life that Jesus Christ is challenging you to repent of. You know, the sign that we have true faith is that we go on repenting. This is why Paul challenged sin. Remember, Paul said in verse 19, "Everything we do is for your strengthening." True building up involves challenging sin. If a builder is working on your house and he finds a rotten beam, you wouldn't expect him just to plaster over it. No, difficult as it is, you'd want him to remove that beam and put a healthy one in place. If the builder finds a leaking pipe under the floor, you don't want him just to pour the concrete over it. No, laborious as it is, you want him to replace that pipe with a sound one. Well, so it is with our souls. True strengthening, true building up, is not just about patting us on the back. Authentic ministry challenges sin. So, my friends, this is the ministry that we need to receive and that we need to give. Authentic Christian ministry recognizes Paul's apostleship, gives, not takes, and grieves over sin. Now, I know that ministry like this is not comfortable to receive. Many stop listening to Paul's letters because they're challenging. I know that when life is hard, we want to come to church and be affirmed and to feel good about ourselves, not to have sin challenged. But ministry that just affirms is not the ministry of Jesus Christ. Painful as it can be, we actually need authentic ministry, which grieves over sin and challenges it. That's what truly strengthens us and builds us up. So this is the ministry we need to receive, and this is the ministry we need to give. The quality that lies behind authentic ministry is love. It's love that leads us to give, not take. It's love that leads us to grieve over sin. Well, how can we love like this? We need to recognize that this is how Jesus Christ loves us. He gave everything for us. He came to earth. He died on the cross. Now he gives us his Spirit. He grieves over our sins. He challenges us to repent. Now when we trust in Jesus Christ, he forgives us our failure to love each other like this. And he gives us a new heart to love as he loves. So what we must keep doing, brothers and sisters, is keep turning from our selfish ways. Keep trusting in Christ and keep asking him to give us his heart of love. Then we can be authentic ministers to our families, our friends, to our church. Not looking to take, but to give. Not sharing a popular flattering message, but sharing the true gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Loving God, we thank you for the example of the Apostle Paul. And we thank you for the faithful ministers you've given us in our lives, who teach us the truth of your word, who give and don't take, and who love us enough to grieve over and challenge our sin. Lord, please keep us committed to receiving that kind of authentic ministry. And please enable each one of us to give this true ministry. Lord Jesus, thank you that you died for our lack of love. Please keep working in us your heart of love. Enable us to love those around us with that love that gives, not takes, and which passes on your true gospel. Amen.